Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in. It's a Thursday edition of the program, which means Lee Kelly is in studio with me. And Lee, we've been treated to Big Ten Media Day yesterday, which was kind of extra interesting because not only did we get to hear from the coaches about their teams this season, which is just around the corner, but the California bill, the name and likeness usage, perhaps a college athlete down the road, maybe sooner than we think, to make some money. That was kind of a key topic, and you can bet it is at all the media days that have either happened or going to happen. So we got to hear a lot of coaches stammer and statter around about their beliefs on that, and Archie Miller seemed to be pretty open in his comments. No one came out and flat endorsed athletes making money off their name, their image, their likeness, whatever you want to call it. But, you know, he made comments, I'm paraphrasing, about moving forward and you got to be willing to change and basically modernize things. So that was interesting. We got to hear from a couple Hoosiers yesterday. And now that that's in the books, we've got Hoosier Hysteria coming up on Saturday, which is obviously fun for fans. There will be a brief scrimmage, which is what everybody looks forward to at Hoosier Hysteria. Maybe the kids look more forward to the three-point and the slam dunk contest and things like that. But and of course, big day recruiting-wise, and that's what we'll focus on a lot leading up to Hoosier Hysteria and after as well. So we continue on, inching closer to the season. And when Hoosier Hysteria gets here, then you're weeks away from exhibition game, and then you're just really a week or so away from that point of the start of regular season games. And, of course, the Celtics play this weekend on Sunday, their preseason game, and I'm going to talk about this a little bit in the program today. You know, we had Tom Westerholm on earlier in the week from Boston to talk about Romeo, and it sounds all good. He's healthy. His thumb is back. He's no longer shooting with any contraptions or tape or cast or anything on his hand. So I thought, man, and Tom seemed to think that these preseason games will be a big opportunity for him to get some playing time, especially since he didn't play in Vegas. And then Tom tweets out yesterday, last evening, Romeo Langford tells me he's tweaked his groin a little bit, but he expects to be fine. He hasn't done full contact yet in practices, in the training camp that they have going on. So now I'm wondering, with a little tweak to the groin, gosh, it's Thursday. I know they have probably one or two practices today in Boston. If he doesn't practice today, do they play him Sunday? I'm getting ready to invest in a package here, a league pass package for the Celtics. I want to know if he's going to play or not, like a lot of people. So we'll see. Lots going on today, Lee.
Absolutely. And you mentioned Romeo, and with any player going to the NBA or Major League Baseball or whatever it might be, one of the things I always think about is they've never played an 82-game plus playoff schedule or 162-game schedule in baseball. Will their body hold up to that kind of beating day in and day out? And I don't have the answer to that. Romeo was one of the most finely tuned athletes I've been around. He really took it seriously from a nutrition standpoint as well as a conditioning standpoint. So I don't know, but we'll certainly have to see. I am excited to see what goes on. Even the mini scrimmage at IU has me intrigued to see if Jerome Hunter makes it on the floor. It's a preseason scrimmage, means absolutely nothing. They've been handling him with kid gloves as well they should have. Will he even get on the floor during the scrimmage? And there's other things coming up that We'll talk about as we go along.
Yeah, it will be interesting to see. Let's take a look at the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, Lee and I will have our Hoosier headlines presented by Zaxby's, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. We'll cover Big Ten Media Day yesterday. We'll talk a little more about Romeo Langford. We'll talk some IU football and IU football players in the NFL. We'll talk about that. That's something that I've kind of been watching from a distance but haven't really mentioned on the show. So we'll do that today and a few other things in the headline segment. Then later in the show, Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall joins Lee and I for his regular appearance on Thursday. We can recap there some comments yesterday from Archie Miller about the team for this season and generally what happened, what went down yesterday at the Big Ten Media Day in Chicago. So we'll do that with Alex a bit later. And then later in the program, if we have time, I'm going to throw in the clip from Archie Miller on the podium yesterday and perhaps even the IU players as well. We'll have some audio from Big Ten Media Day, and then Lee and I will take a quick preview of Week 7 of high school football coming up here a little bit later in the program today. That's the guest lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget you can mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison and you'll receive a dollar off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's look at our Zaxby's headlines for this Thursday, October 3rd. Yesterday, Big Ten Media Day. Obviously, that's where a lot of the focus was for IU fans and really on the whole Big Ten Conference yesterday. And interesting to hear a number of things. Lee, for me, two takeaways: Devontae Green, who was not only a focal point of the IU team when Archie Miller was interviewed yesterday, but he also got his own opportunity to speak at Media Day as a captain and as a senior on this team. Archie Miller sounds confident that Devontae Green has turned the corner as a true leader on this team. And remember, it wasn't long ago last year that often you would say, gosh, is Devontae Green even subscribing to what the rest of this team is? Does he not see the open guy here? Why will he not do this? Then he gets suspended. And after he gets suspended, what does he do? He comes back and averaged, was it 15 points or so a game?
His last four, five, six
games of the season. So obviously he came back and that worked out. I mean, you wonder, is this guy going to transfer after the season with some of the problems that you've seen you can pick up on just as a person watching the games? And clearly it went the opposite direction. It went the good direction. He came back and performed and was a big, big part of the team in the closing weeks of the season. Now he's the captain. Now he's a senior. Now with Romeo Langford and Juwan Morgan gone, he's such a big, or going to have to be such a big scoring option, one would think, for this IU team this coming season. So it's great to hear Archie Miller be confident about him and speak pretty openly about some improvements that he's made. And it's interesting to hear Devontae understand his role as a leader and understand that this is a huge season for him. So that is obviously something that I can't wait to see how it unfolds, because if Indiana is going to beat some of these preseason expectations and if Indiana is going to maybe get to the NCAA tournament, which is very, very much needed, as we well know for this team, I think Devontae Green has got to be a leader in many, many categories, and I'm sure some people are excited and think that he's capable of it. Look at the last few games of last season for his scoring abilities, but other people, I think, probably wondering if this will all work out for Indiana this year. For Indiana's sake, Devontae Green has to have a big year. I don't see any way around that.
I agree, but I have reservations, and I hope he has a season for the ages. I've never met the young man. I've never talked to any coaches about the young man. But it looks to me like an outsider looking in that Archie's trying to pump him up, saying all the right words, trying to build his confidence every time he talks about the upcoming IU team. And I hope it works. But my fear is the first time something goes wrong, his shot isn't falling or whatever, will he recoil back to where he has been in the past? Hope not. I want to see IU make the tournament. I think they've got a good group of people. They've got to stay healthy. It certainly would help if Green is able to put some hoops in, especially three-point shots, and open up the rest of the floor for other players. But I have reservations. I didn't realize until an article this morning that he started at his high school as a seventh grader. Didn't realize that. And so he's always been the star of the team he's on until he got to IU. And I think he wants to follow his brother into the NBA. His brother's been very successful. His brother played at North Carolina, national championship team. His brother's 6'6", which has helped just a tad. So I think there's a lot of things going on in Devontae's head. I hope Archie's able to convince him to do the team things that need to be done, and I hope he has a lot of success.
One of the other things from yesterday that was interesting to me is a lot of talk about Demezi Anderson. And I'm honestly not sure how many times, other than a handful, his name has come up in the offseason as we talk about the team for this 2019-2020 season. And Archie Miller said, quote, "Right now he's as big and strong and as well-conditioned as he's been. Just in his communication in this offseason and what we try to do with him, he'll be the first to tell you he had a lot to learn and there's some things he needs to do better." Obviously, Anderson could fill a big gap, a big need for this Indiana team. He's a shooter at times. He had hot games and cold games and didn't really log that many minutes overall, I guess you could say. But he's a player that he's listed, 6'7" and 225 pounds, which is a 10-pound or so increase for Anderson since his freshman season. So he's another name that when I think about this upcoming year and new players on the roster, whether it be Joey Brunk or Trace Jackson Davis or Armand Franklin, or whether it be key returners from last year, he doesn't really fit the mold for either of those groups. And so to hear him get some pub at Media Day was interesting, and he's a guy that I've not thought all that much about. I guess you kind of wonder after last year, coming into the sophomore year, this is maybe a make or break season. Is he ever going to find his way to a role, to a contributing spot on this Indiana roster? And it sounds like from Archie Miller, there's hope that he does, and at least he's going to have the opportunity to this season.
Yeah, I agree. And he's a young man that we heard a lot about in his high school career, had a great high school career up in northern Indiana. And I think a lot of people, of course, so many things happened last year with Hunter going down with an injury, missing the entire season, and other things going on in the program. And when Demezi came on the floor for the first time, I thought, all right, I get a chance to see this young man in something besides an all-star game or whatever. And he seemed to be, one guy described one time, he said, "I can always tell the young players on the floor, they look like a newborn colt. They want to run as fast as they can, but they don't know where they're going." Kind of reminds me at times of Anderson last year. He wanted to do well. He tried to do well, and he was hustling all the time, but I'm not sure he knew where he was going.
Matt Dennison, Lee Kelly with you here on this Thursday program. Our headlines are brought to you by Zaxby's. Couple other things that I did want to get to today. You know, IU football, we're obviously in the middle of the season, and so we're focused on that. But out of the corner of my eye, I've kept an eye on some names that played at Indiana, whether it's just a year or so ago or longer, that are having professional careers. So we put a list together, a number of players in the NFL. What are we at? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Is it 8 players with an NFL tie for this Indiana team? Tevin Coleman for the 49ers, Dan Feeney for the Chargers, Jordan Howard for the Eagles, Cody Latimer for the Giants, Wes Martin, the Redskins, Roger Saffold, the Titans, Nate Sudfeld, obviously, the Eagles, Ian Thomas, the Panthers. That's a nice little production, pro production there for IU football.
It really is, and there's a couple of other names. Brandon Knight is on the 53-man roster for the Cowboys, and Jason Spriggs, who's had a lot of success in the NFL, he's on injured reserve this season. So, that's not a bad for the seasons the seasons IU has had in football. Not a bad representation. And there have been other names that apparently are no longer on rosters that we have seen, some quarterbacks and so on, that apparently are no longer in the league. But not bad at all.
All right, one other thing about Romeo Langford here in our headlines. Gordon Hayward, Brownsburg product. He kind of leaked a little bit yesterday at a post media day interview. He was on the podium and some questions. I don't even know how it came up, but he's the one that said Romeo Langford hasn't done any live action. I guess someone asked him maybe about the rookies or about Romeo. Maybe a connection to the state of Indiana. And I guess he had a little side conversation with one of the PR folks that was in the room. So we found out first yesterday, after knowing he's healthy, or at least he was healthy, that Romeo was, we thought, back in the fold, back in doing everything you would expect at training camp and getting ready for preseason playing time. Gordon Hayward kind of let it slip that he had not been in any live action yet, which I think is very important to take that step from working out, from practicing at whatever level he is, to playing in an NBA preseason game potentially as early on Sunday. You would think that there obviously would be a live play with his own team first in practice and in scrimmage. So that made me wonder, will we see Romeo Langford Sunday? Then later in the day, I mentioned the tweet from Tom Westerholm of Mass Live that he's got a little tweak in his groin but thinks he's going to be fine. I'm curious if we see Mr. Langford on Sunday in the opener, or maybe if that's going to be delayed again as far as his official return to playing the game of basketball.
Yeah, and I think they're protecting him. You know, they, no need to, if he has a problem, no need to throw him into the wolves and possibly make the injury even worse. So I'm glad they are protecting him a little bit. And one of the reasons I've always liked Boston, except when Wilt Chamberlain played against them. I was a big Wilt Chamberlain fan. But the Indiana connections on that Boston Celtic team are enough to keep me following them even before Romeo got there. And now even more reason to follow them and hope they have a good season, make the playoffs, and so on. So looking forward to it either way.
Absolutely. Final couple headlines today. Let's talk some high school football, which we're going to get to later in the show as well, pending we have time. This week, I really don't know if I could pick a game of the week. Jeffersonville at Madison, both teams 1-5. That could be an interesting contest that the Red Devils, I think, have an opportunity for a victory there. Floyd Central, 4-2 with some injuries. They're on the road at Jennings County. Should be a winning game opportunity for Floyd Central this weekend. Charlestown, they've won four straight after starting 0-2. They are on the road at Cordon. That should be an opportunity for the Pirates to pick up a win. Clarksville's got a tough one. They host Brownstown Central, who's 6-0. Providence hosts Mitchell. Providence is 2-4. Mitchell's 3-3. Rock Creek is at North Davies. North Davies, pretty good. 4-2, small school football program. New Albany with a tough challenge. 1-5, they host Seymour, who's been really good this year at a 4-2 record for the Owls. And Silver Creek, 6-0, will look to stay undefeated, and they should have a great opportunity to, as they will play at North Harrison, who is 500 on the season at 3-3. 29 undefeated teams left in the state of Indiana. But, Lee, we are focused on two specifically. That would be Silver Creek, obviously one of our local teams, 6-0, and pending something crazy this weekend with a real opportunity to move to 7-0 with a victory on Friday night forthcoming against North Harrison. Brownstown is the other team we're paying attention to. The 6-0 Braves of Brownstown play at 1-5 Clarksville on Friday, so there should be no issues with Brownstown picking up another win. But that would set up in Week 8, basically the Mid-Southern Conference Championship game with Silver Creek and Brownstown taking on each other. So I know that we've been pretty honest. There have been some disappointing moments in this football season. There have been some blowout scores, and unfortunately a lot of our local teams have been on the getting blown away side of those scores. We do have some good players to follow. I wonder if we have teams, I mean, obviously by the chance of who's paired with who, we're going to have some local sectional winners, but I do wonder if we have anybody that's going to break through in the postseason and even get to beyond a regional. I really don't know at this point, but I do know that that Silver Creek Brownstown game brings some excitement back after a couple pretty rough weeks of football here in the area, as far as our local teams, at least for some of them. So that will be really exciting. That will be a great environment on Friday night, week 8, a week from this Friday. I hate to look ahead, but it's one where you're really cheering for both teams to stay undefeated, for that matchup to be very, very meaningful in the second to last week of the regular season of high school football.
Absolutely. For me, as a Silver Creek alum, hope they get by, but I think this is a very dangerous game this weekend at North Harrison. They're in a rebuilding year, but Coach Williamson down there does a great job with the defense, and Silver Creek, if they're looking ahead to Brownstown, I think that could be a problem down there. So we'll see. Brownstown just been running over people, let's be honest about it. Knocked off Seymour last week, and that game ended up being a little closer at the end. We followed that one all night long score-wise, and so we'll see. But hopefully they both go into that game 7-0, and we'll see. The big question for me is we need to call Coach Pappenhaus and find out who the quarterback is this week.
They're not calling that position quarterback. It's the man behind center now. Every time they call him quarterback, they get injured. So they're on, third string, but I think they've got some guys returning soon. So we'll explore that for sure in our Friday night coverage. That's the headlines brought to you by Zaxby's, with locations in New Albany and Jeffersonville. Don't forget, Lee and I on Friday night will be with you for high school football coverage beginning at 6 o'clock with the Kentuckiana High School kickoff show. We'll be bouncing around from play-by-play at multiple area games on Friday night. We'll also have constant scoreboards so you can, no matter what game we're at, you can get constant updates on who is playing who and what the score is and some of the highlights as well. And we've got call-in reports from other games that we don't have on our around-the-area roving coverage. And, of course, when the night is over with, the Southern Indiana Scoreboard Show presented by Extremenasium. We have victorious coaches. We have media members and more as we recap each Friday night of high school football here on the Big X Sports Radio. We'll head to a commercial break. When we come back, we'll recap Big Ten Media Day. We'll talk IU basketball, Alex Bozich inside the hall with Lee Kelly and I coming up next. Stay with us. This Thursday edition of the program continues on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back, Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall with Lee Kelly and I here on this Thursday edition of the Hoosier Report. Alex, we've been treated to a lot of good basketball content lately. IU Media Day followed by Big Ten Media Day. And, of course, Hoosier Hysteria is coming up on Saturday. The season is just about here for 2019-2020. Let's start with the conference first before we necessarily get into just IU stuff. But anything from yesterday strike your fancy from Big Ten Media Day? Obviously, all the coaches got an opportunity to talk about their teams. The coaches were also asked about their thoughts on the California bill for name and likeness that is making waves right now in college sports headlines. And we got to hear from some players as well. What stood out to you from yesterday?
I mean, that was probably the headliner for most people that tuned in. I mean, the most surprising, well, I shouldn't say surprising, the most disappointing thing to me was the comments from Big Ten Commissioner Jim Delaney, who seemed either completely clueless or oblivious to what's going on, or sounded like a guy who's ready to retire in 80 days and doesn't want to deal with this, which I've talked a lot about in the past about kind of some of the current leadership in the NCAA and the conferences not really wanting to solve this issue. It's been more of a reactive approach rather than a proactive approach. And what Delaney said basically just kind of confirmed that that hunch and that basically, you know, he doesn't want this to come into college sports. And if, you know, for someone whose salary depends on, you know, not becoming the norm in college sports, of course, that's kind of the reaction that you would expect. But I thought, in a lot of ways disappointing to hear what he said. But what was encouraging, I thought, on that topic particularly, I thought Richard Pitino and Archie Miller were two of the more better quotes on the topic. I thought, you know, Archie Miller basically said, if you're not moving forward, you're standing in cement, which wasn't him coming out and saying for sure that, like, he was supported this exact bill, but he realizes that we're in a changing world and that something needs to be done. And Richard Pitino basically said that anything they could do to help get the players a little something extra, a little bit more, he's in favor of. So that was encouraging. In terms of the actual basketball discussion, I mean, I watched all the coaches' press conferences. I think everybody likes their team right now. I think everyone's going to be good based on what they said yesterday. That's kind of how it goes with these media days. It feels like everybody had a great summer. Everybody's gained weight. Everybody's excited. We'll see how it actually plays out when the season tips off. But, you know, I was most interested in hearing from Juwan Howard because I just don't know much about how he's going to be as a coach. I don't know that I necessarily learned a whole lot about his philosophy as a coach or what they're going to run this year, but they're an interesting team, and so I paid close attention to his comments. And then, you know, Illinois was another one that kind of was interesting to me because they're being picked so high, and I don't necessarily agree with all the preseason love for them, but I was just kind of curious to hear what Brad Underwood had to say in terms of how they're embracing expectations and the season that he feels like they'll have. So those are kind of some of the high-level takeaways. I mean, the name, image, and likeness thing was the main thing that was going to be discussed, and rightfully so, because that's the biggest story right now in college sports by far.
Yeah, and let's stay with that just a moment, Alex. I know there's at least one or two states where, as you might guess, happens often. Politicians have introduced bills in their state legislature to do the same thing California just did. Apparently, this is going to grow state by state. It looks to me like it's a situation where the NCAA is not going to be able to kind of sweep this under the carpet or put it on a back burner and not talk about it. It's headline news on almost every site that follows college athletics.
Yeah, I mean, I think the latest thing was that Florida's trying to do something next year, which is pretty quick. I don't know how feasible that. You know, the thing we don't know with all of this is how it's actually going to be worked out or resolved. The one thing I will agree with the coaches, and what I will agree with, you know, people who are apprehensive about it, is I would like to see the same rules for, you know, every NCAA member institution. Like, if this is only allowed in certain states, then, I mean, and I know there's already built-in competitive advantages and disadvantages for every school. I mean, obviously Duke and Kentucky are going to still get the best kids. But I would at least like to see a situation where, you know, everybody's under the kind of the same guidelines. And I think as more and more states come forward and say, you know, we're interested in doing something like this, I think that's when the appetite's going to grow on a national basis to get this resolved one way or the other. But I just hate how it's all reactive, right? There's no, I mean, this has been brewing for a long time. I mean, the thing I always think about growing up playing video games, there was always an NCAA football game or a basketball game, and then they got rid of that stuff because Ed O'Bannon, I think it was, sued the NCAA, basically saying, "Hey, you're using us in a game, but we're not getting anything." So instead of saying, figuring it out back then, they just said, "All right, well, we won't make the game anymore." So it's like I said, it's always a reactive approach, and I just hope that as this kind of moves down the line, that the NCAA is not going to dig their heels in and say, you know, we're not willing to budge on this, because then it's going to have to go through the court system, and it's going to become, I just feel like, I want to focus on the games and the sport, because I think, this is another thing Archie Miller said yesterday, college basketball is a great product, right? We don't want it to go away. We just want things to change in terms of, you know, let's make this a little bit more equitable for everybody involved. When you see these TV contracts, the dollar values on them, and then you see kind of what some of these athletes are given in terms of, I know they get a scholarship, and people like to come back in and say, well, you know, they're getting to go to school for free. Well, you know what? There's a huge gap between billions and millions of dollars in a scholarship. So I just hope that it's resolved one way or the other and doesn't drag on for years, because I think people are going to I think general public probably has a strong opinion that they want it to change, but I don't think they're going to want to see something that's drawn out for years and become a distraction, because ultimately we all just want to sit back and watch the games and enjoy the sport.
Kind of keeping it on this level for another question, Alex, it's really amazing as we get close to this season, and obviously that's where all the excitement is at, when you have media days and Hoosier hysteria and other teams are having their kickoff practices and events. There are a lot of big storylines outside of this upcoming season that are surrounding college sports and college basketball right now. Obviously, this name and likeness thing has exploded since earlier this week when the California governor signed the bill that made it through the House and Senate there. And then, of course, continuing on, and it seems like picking up a little bit, has been NCAA enforcement with violations handed out to Kansas, and then Georgia Tech being banned from the NCAA tournament once practices had just started. Boy, there are a lot of interesting sidebar things that might even become at times more dominant than the games themselves if this sort of news cycle continues.
Yeah, I mean, it was that way last year, right? I mean, it was, everyone was talking about, the years are now blending together, but maybe it was 2 years ago when the FBI stuff all kind of first came out, but that's all we talked about. I think it happened in like a September, and then we talked about it for months, and then once March Madness gets here, people focus on the games, and then it's right back to this stuff. I just, at some point, and this happens with anything, people get fatigue from these types of stories, right? They I think all of us at our core, like I said, just want to watch the sport and enjoy the sport for what it is. But when you have all these other distractions, and I think there are issues obviously that need to be resolved and resolved in a fair way to everybody involved, but you just want to see it done in a expedient kind of efficient manner. And this is not an easy issue to kind of resolve it in. So I just worry, if it's something that drags on for several years, if you're going to lose kind of some fans because they just are tired of hearing about it. So I'm hopeful that's not the case. I mean, there's a lot of people who like to put the takes out on Twitter that, oh, if this goes through, college sports like we know it will be forever changed, and like kind of trying to scare people to cite that as a reason that they shouldn't do it. But there's got to be a resolution one way or the other, and whether that involves letting guys go directly to the NBA or whether it involves figuring out a solution that's fair for everybody on the image and likeness, or letting guys get a little bit more in terms of their scholarship. I just want to see it resolved, and let's move on and play basketball and football and all the other great sports that are taking place around the country.
Alex, do you think that college athletics are losing fans? If you look at the situation we're talking about, the California bill, we look at the shoe company interference that in all probability is still going on. We look at football and we find the same teams in the playoffs every year. Even when lower level teams have undefeated seasons, they don't even get a sniff getting into the playoffs. And then you look at Penny Hardaway coming into Memphis and brought a lot of the young men that played for him in AAU, plus some other players, and I wonder how long before he and Calipari get in a fight on the sideline over who's going to get the next AAU superstar. But there are not a lot of good positive things in the headlines of sports websites and newspapers this day and age. Are they losing fans who said, I've had enough? My team has no chance of getting in the playoffs. My team got overlooked for the NCAA tournament. They're all crooked. They're all cheating. Are there people out there that, me being one of them, that beginning to feel that way?
Yeah, I don't know. But is it like kind of what you're talking about in terms of like the college football playoff? That's one thing that I've thought about a lot over the last couple weeks and months, is this kind of this discussion has been like there's whatever segment of people that like to say, well, this is going to create an uneven playing field. And I'm thinking to myself, isn't Alabama and Clemson already getting the best players? Like, how is that going to change with this, if this happens, right? They're the best there's what, three or four programs in a given year that you think could win the college football playoff? I mean, that's realistically the number. So the argument that it's going to create an uneven playing field just doesn't carry much weight with me, because it's already an uneven playing field, even in basketball. I mean, there's, you know, right now, realistically, there's four or five programs, and Indiana is not currently one of them, that's recruiting on a totally different level than anybody else. Probably two or three if you want to narrow it in even further, with Kentucky and Duke getting the majority of the kids. So that argument is not a great one for me. But, yeah, I don't know if it's turning people off to the sport. I just know that there's a lot of people who – are not keen on college presidents and athletic directors and conference commissioners getting paid salaries in the tens of millions of dollars, depending on what example you want to look at, and you know, college athletes, you know, basically just getting a cost of attendance scholarship and maybe some stipend money, and that's it. I mean, we're not. What people are confusing this with is they're trying to say it's a pay for play thing when it's a name, image, and likeness thing. Which to me, the difference is, you know, if a guy wants to go sign autographs and charge $20, let him do it. I mean, it's to say that somebody can't do that, I think is just kind of a backwards way of thinking, and I think. There's only 1 or 2% probably of guys that this is even going to apply to. So anyone that's saying it's going to make some huge change in college athletics, I just think is trying to put up a wall in favor of change when, I mean, the train's coming. So you're either going to get on board, or I feel like you're going to get run over.
Absolutely. You know, you mentioned signing autographs, and I happen to think back to, if it had been legal, if Romeo Langford would have been able to charge for autographs, that man could live comfortably for the rest of his life after those 4 years at New Albany, because everybody got in line for an autograph. Interesting
exactly.
Times.
Exactly. I mean, it's incredible. It's I don't. I mean, we could probably have an hour show talking about this topic itself, because it's just it's so complex. But you know, I know people don't like change, and I know people resist change in a lot of instances. But this is just a situation I just don't feel like is gonna go away unless somebody steps up and says, "Hey, this is, we got to do something about this." And whether it takes governors or, you know, Izzo said yesterday that politicians don't need to get involved, but I don't necessarily disagree with that. But if that's the way if that's what it's going to take to get it done, then I guess that's the route they're going to have to go. Because as I said, the NCAA is not willing to do anything on its own. It has to be somebody passing a law, or it has to be somebody suing them, or whatever it's going to be to actually get something done. They're never going to come out and say, hey, let's willingly give a piece of the pie to these kids. It's just never going to happen.
Alex Bozich inside the hall joining us to talk IU basketball. And, of course, a lot of issues right now, as we mentioned, sidebar issues, which really might be more than sidebar issues in college sports. I do want to get to some IU-specific things before we get out of here today with you. Going back to yesterday, I know I got your thoughts generally on the comments of some coaches and the lay of the land at Media Day, but Archie Miller spent a lot of time talking about Devontae Green. And, of course, Devontae, a senior, a captain, he also was somebody that is somebody that's going to be heavily relied on this season. I think it's loud and clear to everyone. You know, you think back about Devontae Green, it wasn't long ago in the middle part of last season where he had some bad games. You constantly heard, you know, is he seeing what the rest of this team is seeing? Is he on the same page as Romeo and Juwan and the rest of the team? He was suspended, and at one point, I remember thinking, and it probably even came up on the show, you know, is Devontae Green going to be with Indiana next season? I think, you know, going back through things last year, at one point that had to be a thought in a lot of people's minds. And he did come back from the suspension. He played some really good basketball to help the team in the final weeks of the season. And now, of course, it appears, according to Archie Miller, and his teammates, by voting him in as captain or co-captain, that he's had some really good months in the offseason and understands now that there's a big leadership component that comes along with, in addition to what is expected of him on the court. Are you concerned at all? Would you be concerned at all if you were a coach or maybe even just a fan that Indiana is going to appear to so heavily rely on Devontae Green, who just some months ago was suspended, was maybe not on the same page as the rest of the team, and there was even wonder if he would return to the roster, to the program, at the conclusion of last year?
I wouldn't say I'm concerned. I'm just more curious to see how he's going to handle the increased responsibility that goes along with being a leader on the team. I mean, can a team that Devontae Green is the captain of, could that be a team that makes the NCAA tournament? I'm fascinated to learn the answer to that question. My personal opinion on it is I think it's going to be a pretty big year for Devontae. I've never disputed his talent. He's had his moments where he's been immature. He's had his moments where you scratch your head and watch him make a play and say, why did he just do that? But I think deep inside of there's something, you know, there's a talented player who can be a really effective player on a good team. And I think that's the Devontae Green that IU fans have to hope that they see this year with more consistency. I think his role is more clearly defined than it's ever been at IU. I mean, last year he was you know, if Romeo hadn't have come, you know, his role would have probably been a lot different, but he had to step aside in many ways to kind of, you know, let Romeo do his thing, and that couldn't have been easy for him. And now that he's a senior and he's been named a captain by his teammates, I think we're going to see the best version of Devontae Green. Do I have questions whether or not he can do it consistently? Yes. But I also think that there is the potential there for him to have a really good year. And the other thing I'll say about him is, you know, every time he's one of the, to me, last year it was awesome. At the end of the year, we had that locker room access with the players, which we don't normally get after the NIT games. And he was, you know, he had some of the most interesting, insightful things to say. I mean, his brother's an NBA player. I feel like he knows a lot about the game of basketball. And I just think he's going to be a positive addition to the team this year. I think he's going to be one of the leaders and clearly one of the best players.
Alex, you had an excellent article for fans that not only want to go up to the Hoosier Hysteria this Saturday, but also follow the Hoosiers in the preseason and early season games. I certainly recommend that anybody that wants to follow the Hoosiers and especially find out information about all of that, go to Inside the Hall, and you can get all of that. But what kind of crowd are you expecting for Hoosier Hysteria? Will it be as big as last year with Romeo and all the New Albany and Romeo fans making their way up, or will it be a little smaller?
Yeah, I think it'll be a little bit smaller. Obviously, there was you know, I think the two most attended ones that I can remember, and I've been going now regularly since 2009 or 2010. Obviously, the Old Depot Zeller year where they were number one was, I think, the most crowd that we've seen. And last year was a really good crowd. But yeah, I think it'll be down a little bit. But I think there's some extra intrigue this year because you've got the scrimmage lined up and people want to see Jerome Hunter. They want to know if he's going to actually get out there and play. If he does, and we see some things from him, I think the excitement level for this season potentially ramps up a little bit. If he sits out, I think the question marks continue. When is he going to play again? When are we going to see him kind of in some live action? So I think there's some intrigue for that. But just, you know, I think there'll be a, you know, 10,000, 11,000, 12,000 people there, give or take. There's no IU football game, obviously, this weekend. So, and the other thing that they've done, which I really like, under this coaching staff is Hoosier Hysteria for as long as I can remember, at least under Crean, was, you know, at 7 o'clock at night, and oftentimes it would drag on to 10 or 10:30. Now it's at 4, so people from around the state, if you have kids, you can come in. You know, it's not going to last more than an hour and a half, 2 hours. You can get, you know, get something to eat, get out of town, get back home at a decent hour. I think that's made it a little bit easier for people to get to. So I would expect, you know, that they'll have a pretty good crowd, but obviously we know there's not going to, there wasn't the same crowds at New Albany games last year, right, without Romeo. So there's not going to be the same the crowds at Indiana games without Romeo or Indiana events.
Alex Bozich inside the hall. Final question, Alex, before we let you go. Speaking of Hoosier Hysteria, we know it's as big of a recruiting opportunity as it is anything for this IU program. Highlight some of the visitors this weekend that we're aware of at this point that will be on campus for the event.
Yeah, I mean, it's always a huge weekend for that. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of younger kids from around the state. Christian Lander is just, to me, the headliner. He's coming off a visit to Louisville. He's taking an official visit this weekend, a junior year official to Bloomington. You know, Trey Galloway and Anthony Leal, his AAU teammates, are going to be there. So he's going to have a good time. I mean, these visits are always, they always go well, right? You always hear everyone had a good time. It was great. We like the crowd. We love the atmosphere. I expect to hear those kinds of things from him afterwards. But I think he's just kind of a huge piece potentially moving forward for Indiana. If they're able to get him in the 2021 class, I think he's absolutely in a lot of ways pivotal, especially if they don't get a point guard in this class. I think they need to address that for sure in 2021. And having an in-state prospect like that, I think is definitely to their advantage if they can get the job done. So I think it's a big weekend from that perspective. But yeah, there'll be a ton of kids there. I expect a lot of the younger kids around the state. But one thing that they also, I think, do a pretty good job of is, you know, they focus on, you know, the guys who are kind of at the top of the board. Whereas a lot of times Crean would invite, you know, there'd be 40 or 50 kids there, recruits. I mean, it's great to include everybody, but at the same time, you want to be able to pay some attention to the guys who you really want to get. And I think Lander is going to be right at the top of that list.
Alex Bozich inside the hall, always with us on Thursdays to talk IU basketball. Alex, thanks for your time.
All right, guys, have a good one.
Alex Bozich inside the hall joins Lee Kelly and I on Thursdays. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back and wrap up the show, and I think we're going to have time to play a little Archie Miller audio from the roundtable yesterday. We'll do that and more coming up next right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, we're back. Final segment. Not going to have time for the audio from Big Ten Media Day yesterday. It is available on Inside the Hall website. Alex Bozich joining us in the last segment, recapping a lot of that. Lee Kelly is with me. And Lee, Hoosier Hysteria, I know that we've both been a number of times over the years. It's a fun event for, I think, specifically young kids, and we know it's a big day for recruiting as well for this program. And it's an affordable day. That's the best part. Doors open at 2:30. The event begins at 4 o'clock. If you want to watch it and you're not going to make the trip to Bloomington, you've got to subscribe to Big Ten Network Plus, which is the online paid streaming service that's associated with Big Ten Network. And you might want to go ahead and do that because there are going to be a handful of games, the exhibition game and some regular season games in November that will also be on Big Ten Network Plus. So it might make sense to go ahead and get that subscription, which is, I think, $9.95 a month. So it's not going to break the bank to get that. No admission either. And, of course, you've got take a can for the food drive, Hoosier Hills Food Bank, to get in, which is highly recommended. And a slam dunk contest, three-point shooting contest between the men's and women's teams. I think they combined together. I can't remember. Schedule posters, that's always a big deal to get the historic schedule posters that come out each year if you collect those. Calbert Cheney's going to be there. That's probably one of the more cool features of the night for me. He's the newest member of the College Basketball Hall of Fame and, of course, the all-time leader in points scored in the Big Ten Conference and, of course, for Indiana as well. And it says there'll be a brief scrimmage. We don't know if brief is 10 minutes or longer or less, but at least you'll have some opportunity to see the team in action, which will be a lot of fun.
Also, the women's program is going to be there as well. Terry Morin, Seymour alum and the head coach at IU women's program, will be there with her team for next year.
For sure. That's going to wrap things up for this Thursday edition of the show. Thanks for being with us. Don't forget, I'm back tomorrow at 11 o'clock with our Friday show. And then Lee and I, Friday night, for 5+ hours of high school football coverage here on the Big X Sports Radio. Talk with you tomorrow.